Good morning, Village. This morning, I've asked our son Philip, to accompany me on this song, and I believe that you will recognize it when we start to sing it. When I start to sing it. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. No, no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. Back, no turning back.
Good morning. I'm Leslie Perico, and I'll be reading the scripture this morning. Proverbs 22, 1 through 6. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. And favor is better than silver or gold. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. The clever see danger and hide, but the simple go on and suffer for it. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. The cautious will keep far from them. Train children in the right way, and when old, they will not stray. May God bless his reading of this, his holy word.
Okay, you have to give me credit for showing incredible restraint. Our granddaughter was born 3 months ago, and this is the first time I've mentioned her in a sermon. Linda gave me this picture to display in my office. It was taken back in July when we were in Los Angeles. That's me and our little granddaughter having a conversation. I'm not sure she understood what I was saying to her, and I certainly did not understand what she was saying to me, but we are communicating nonetheless. There can be a special bond between a grandparent and a grandchild. Those of you who have grandchildren know what I'm talking about. Grandchildren are God's reward for having children. Anne Lamott wrote in her book, Some Assembly Required, a grandchild is like a fine jewel set in an old ring. Well, we saw our little grandbaby for 2 days back in July, and we can hardly wait to go back. Linda's going out to California sooner than I am. She's going out the end of October and stopping by Texas to pick up my mother to take her to see her great-grandbaby. Right after our granddaughter was born, our son Mark called us to give us the good news. We weren't surprised because we knew she was coming. We'd been talking with Mark and his wife Stacy on the phone while Stacy was in labor. But unable to do anything to help matters along, Linda and I went to bed. Just before 4 a.m, the phone rang. It was Mark with the news that the baby had come and that she and her mother were doing fine. Then he told us the baby's name, Ford, F-O-R-D, Ford. Mark and Stacy had named their little baby girl Ford. It might seem like an odd choice for a baby, especially for a baby girl, but we knew immediately what it meant. Ford was Linda's maiden name. She was Linda Ford. Linda and I just sat on the bed and we cried, 4 a.m. We cried tears of joy, not just because our granddaughter had come and she and her mother were fine, but because they named the baby Ford, named after her grandmother. There is great value in a good name. Proverbs says that a good name is worth more than silver or gold. You can buy a lot of things with money, but you can't buy a good name. That's something you're given and something that you try to maintain by the way you live. I was given 3 good names: Bruce, Campbell, Salmon. I was named after my 2 grandfathers. My grandfather on my mother's side was Bruce Schulke. That's where the Bruce came from. My grandfather on my father's side was Hugh Campbell Salmon. That's where the Campbell Salmon came from. I did not know my paternal grandfather that well. He lived in California. I just saw him a few times during my childhood, but my mother's father I knew well. He lived in the same city where we live. He was well known in our community. He was the assistant superintendent of public schools in Fort Worth. He was in charge of all the elementary schools. In fact, my grandfather personally hired every elementary school principal and many of the elementary school teachers. When I started elementary school, everybody knew who I was. I was their boss's grandson. And that was a lot to live up to. Sadly, my grandfather died when I was in 2nd grade. But for the rest of elementary school, the teachers still knew who I was. And my grandmother never let me forget who I was named after. And as I think back upon it, I never got into serious trouble as a kid, partly because of my name. I didn't want to do anything to disappoint my grandmother, and I didn't want to do anything to tarnish the legacy of the man I was named for. Well, the passage that we read from Proverbs is about keeping a good name. Warren Buffett is one of the richest men in America, and he knows the value not just of a dollar, but he knows the value of a good name. Warren Buffett said, "It takes 20 years to build a reputation, but just 5 minutes to ruin it." People who keep their good names recognize trouble when they see it, and they try to avoid it. They have humility and respect for God. They know that life is filled with thorns and snares, and they seek to live in such a way that they stay clear of situations that might sully their good name. We're talking here about integrity. We're talking about being honest and trustworthy. We're talking about doing the right thing. We're talking about living in such a way that our lives honor God and honor those who gave us our good names. Proverbs says, "Train children in the right way, and when old, they will not stray." I like the way that Eugene Peterson puts it in his paraphrased translation, The Message. He translates our passage this way: a sterling reputation is better than striking it rich. A gracious spirit is better than money in the bank. The rich and the poor shake hands as equals. God made them both. A prudent person sees trouble coming and ducks. A simpleton walks in blindly and is clobbered. The payoff for meekness and fear of God is plenty and honor and a satisfying life. The perverse travel a dangerous road, potholed and mud slick. If you know what's good for you, stay clear of it. Point your kids in the right direction. When they're old, they won't be lost. Well, each of us was given a good name. Parents and grandparents tried to point us in the right direction. But you know, parents can't live their kids' lives for them. All they can do is show the way. Near the end of our trip to South Africa, we went on a game drive in the Chobe National Park in Botswana. Riding in open-air trucks, we saw elephants and giraffes and wildebeests and impalas and even a lioness with her cubs. After lunch, we boarded a boat for a river cruise on the Chobe River. As magnificent as the land excursion was, the river cruise was even better. We saw hippos and crocodiles and Cape buffalo and all kinds of exotic birds. But the most memorable part of the cruise for me was seeing a herd of elephants on a small island in the river. The herd was comprised of 9 elephants, 5 adults, and 4 juveniles. The adults were all females because the bull elephants don't hang with the herd. Or presumably the juveniles were the children of some of the females. The lead female decided that it was time for the herd to move, so we watched as the elephants got into the river. She led the elephants down the riverbank into the river, and one by one the elephants descended into the water. Now when they reached the other island, the adult elephants climbed up on the riverbank onto dry land. But the 4 juveniles had a hard time getting out of the river. The bank was too steep and their legs were too short. The juvenile elephants strained and pulled with all their might, but they could not get out of the water. I kept waiting for the lead elephant to give them a shove with her trunk to push them, but she never did. Instead, she led them to another place along the riverbank, and she watched as the 4 juveniles once again tried to climb up onto the island. This time, one of the juveniles, the largest of the 4, made it. But the other 3 smaller elephants couldn't do it. Again, I wanted for the lead elephant to push him up on the riverbank, but she just stood there and watched. A third time, she led them to yet another place on the riverbank. And she watched while the younger elephants tried to climb up out of the water. Again, they tried with all their might to get up on dry land. Finally, one of them made it. Then a second one made it. And then the last little elephant strained and strained and strained until he pulled himself out of the water onto dry land. And I almost felt like cheering. Well, you know, as parents and grandparents, we want the best for our children and grandchildren. We want to do the things that will help them to learn and to grow. But in the end, how they live their lives is up to them. And all we can do is point the way. If we push our children, they will never learn for themselves. But if we give them a sense of direction, ultimately they will climb up out of that riverbank and stand on their own. Well, another school year has begun, and all of us are teachers. We don't necessarily teach in school classrooms, but we teach by example. We are role models for the children and youth that come after us. And they're learning. They learn from what we say, but even more, they learn from what we do. Each of us was given a good name when we were born. And as believers in Jesus, we were given a good name when we were born again. You see, we bear the name of Christ. Jesus gave himself for us that we might bear his name and follow him. And we who bear the name of Christ are called to have the mind of Christ. In Philippians 2, Paul wrote, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The bread and the cup on this table represent what Jesus has done for us. He has given us life. He has given us love. He has given us a name. This table of the Lord is open to all fellow Christians. And although no one should partake of these sacred emblems impenitent or without faith in Christ, we invite all who are sincerely seeking him to receive from his table in the assurance that he who came into the world to be the Savior of all will receive you as his own.
Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance." The table of the Lord is our invitation to commune with God and enter full into the fellowship of Christ Church. It may be there's someone today who'd want to unite with this church, become a part of our fellowship as we seek to serve God together in this place and around the world. We receive new members upon your profession of faith in Jesus, follow him as a believer in baptism. Or if you've made that commitment of your life to Christ already, upon your transfer of membership or statement of Christian experience. If that would be your decision, we'd invite you to come to the front as we stand together and sing our closing hymn, number 350, "Blessed Be the Name."
Spirit, be with us and abide upon us all, now and